Hello, and welcome to this half hour of Rallets Baptist Church. My name is Brother Dwayne Cook, and I'm pastor here at Rallets, and I'd like to invite you and your family to come join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for our Sunday school program, or every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for our worship service, or every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for our weekly Bible study. If I could, I'd like to take just a moment and wish happy birthday and an anniversary to a few folks here at Rallets. First of all, today, Thursday the 20th, is Miss Allison Meredith's birthday. And we love Miss Allie so much here at Rallets, and we appreciate her and her family. And Miss Allie be celebrating a big birthday today, and we just want to wish her a happy birthday. Also, tomorrow, Bill and Ruby Richardson. Now, Mr. Richardson, Bill Richardson, been a member here at Rallets since 1918, I believe he told me. He'd been attending here since he was 3 years old. And so he's been a long time. And I believe him and Miss Ruby be married 67 or 68 years this year. And I tell you, if you see those folks out, be sure and tell them happy anniversary. Now, Miss Ruby, Bill's wife, will also be celebrating a birthday on Tuesday, the 25th. So be sure, wish her happy birthday, and she'll be sharing a birthday with Kenley Furlong. Kenley's one of our little ones here, and we love her very much, and we appreciate all these fine folks here at Rallets. If you see them out, please tell them happy birthday and God bless you, or happy anniversary, and we love them so much. Now, I want to share with you, if I can, I know lately here with our radio program, we've been looking at a lot of the workings of the Holy Spirit, and that has really spilled over into our Sunday morning services, because you see, I believe that as Christians, we can hope to do nothing apart from the Holy Spirit. We've got to continue to call upon the Holy Spirit to help us in our endeavors, to empower us as we go about trying to share Christ with the world. And I want to share with you a scene out of Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Now, friends, as we have already seen in Acts chapter 1, the account of the upper room, spending time in communion with God is critical to our experience of the Spirit's power. Do you understand that? That it's there cannot be any separation between spending time in communion with God and experiencing the Spirit's power. If you want to experience the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, you must begin by spending time with God. Now, how do you spend time with God? Through studying His Word, and through prayer, through seeking His face, through just treating Him as you would an honored guest in your life, as a dear friend, someone that you share all of life's experiences with. You cannot spend time in communion with God and not experience the Spirit's power. If you spend time with God, the Holy Spirit's going to rub off you on you. He's going to use you. So it's not surprising that the book of Acts refers to a number of key prayer times in the life of the church. They are all instructive as to how the church lived out its mission on earth. Friend, listen to me today. If you are saved today, you're a part of a church somewhere. You got saved, then it's a part of your duty. I honestly believe that God's will is that each and every individual that can hear the gospel and be saved to be saved, and then that person become a member, an active member of a local congregation. That's God's will. I think it's a desire that God's people should begin to be around one another, should be able to be there to help each other. And there's a number of prayer times in the life of a church. They're all instructive as how the church lived out its mission on earth. Now, on one occasion, Peter and John were on the way to the temple to pray when something wonderful happened. The story begins this way. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m, and a crippled man from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. Now, where he was put there every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at the man, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Praise God. Taking him by the right hand, He helped him up. And instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. That's just sort of my take on Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Now the cripple at the beautiful gate was certainly not the only beggar there that day. There may well have been others calling for Peter's and John's attention, but the Bible says Peter looked straight at him. Peter fastening his eyes upon him, or Peter looking intently at the man. I can tell you from the few years that I've been in the ministry that most people try not to make eye contact with beggars and panhandlers. The defense mechanism is to pretend you don't even see these unfortunate people. You just keep walking. You just keep walking steady. You put your mind on something in front of you. You look at something other than that, and you make your way on by. Peter responded exactly opposite to the majority of, yes, even church members. By the Spirit, he perceived that God was about to do something for this individual. Peter did not feel drawn to everybody at the gate in the same sort of way, but only to this particular man. There was no indication that the cripple believed in Jesus the Messiah, okay? He didn't ask Peter for prayer. He simply uttered what the Jewish equivalent would have been, "Hey friend, can you spare some change," just like all the others. And yet Peter knew in his heart what to do. Or rather, he somehow knew that what God was about to do. He initiated contact. He said, "Look at us." Friend, let me ask you this. Are you in a place where the Holy Spirit could prompt you? If you were walking, this is what happened, dear friend. If you were walking through a crowded courtyard in a big city somewhere, and there were beggars, there were homeless people all around you, and no doubt several of them would be calling out to you, "Hey, help me right here, do this for me, help me right here." Some would be holding signs, some would be doing other things in order to garner your attention. Are you in a place where you're so walking with the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit could prompt you deep within your heart and tell you to go to one individual in particular because God had chosen that person in order to do something miraculous that day? Well, let me share this with you. Every day you are walking by people who are crying out to be helped. They're crying out for something that they don't even know what it is. They don't even know what it is they're looking for, and their lives are crying out. Their spirits are hollering out for someone to show them something that'll help them. Someone to show them something that'll gain them some attention with God Almighty. You see, dear friend, you are carrying something far more precious than silver and gold. You're carrying within you, listen to me, Christian, you're carrying within you the great gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're carrying the most valuable thing ever given to mankind. And some of us are too scared, we're too afraid, or we're not in the right place that we can even share that. We don't even understand that the people around us are dying. Listen, we've got to be sure that we're discerning enough of the Holy Spirit that when the time comes for us to share it, that we'll be able to say, "Yes, Lord, I know the Holy Spirit is drawing me to this individual. They're drawing me to this person over here." Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's somebody in your own home. Hey, maybe it's a son or a daughter. Maybe it's a grandson. Maybe it's a granddaughter. But are you discerning enough? Are you walking close enough with God that when the Holy Spirit tells you now is the time to share with them the gospel, that you'd be able to hear? Peter was able to hear. Peter was able to understand what God's will was. Listen, this insight is something we need to recover today. Not very many of us expect God to give these kinds of supernatural leadings. But they are. They are supernatural leadings. The Holy Spirit may want to touch someone with divine power and change his or her life forever. But I'm afraid sometimes he can't find a channel to use. I believe sometimes the spiritual antenna of most Christians is pointed outward in a heavenly direction, but it's not ready to obey God's prompting. The story in Acts 3 is not hocus-pocus mysticism, but a factual account of what the Holy Spirit did through two yielded servants. Too often we pray about problems in a mechanical way. We mouth the same words over and over regardless of the case. we would do far better if we waited on the Lord and were sensitive to the mind of the Spirit about what to do, what to say, what not to say, as we walk among needy people, broken relationships, and other problems that could come our way. The same God who led Peter can lead you today. He can lead me today. The same God who led Peter can lead us today. Please notice that Peter did not declare healing to every beggar at the temple gate that day, but only to one in particular. There is no basis anywhere in the New Testament for mechanical assembly line operation of any spiritual gift according to some whim of a Christian believer. I'll tell you today, folks, a lot of things are not true. A lot of things are being taken as a move of God, and they're not at all. Nowhere in the New Testament do we see they call a great big assembly somewhere in a big city, and they line people up off of a stage, and they come before an individual, and that individual pops them in the head, and they're healed, and bring on the next one, bring on the next one, bring on the next one. That is not biblical. It's not in the records. Nowhere did the apostle... Do you actually believe that the apostle... Apostle Paul or the Apostle Peter or these men that were there on the day of Pentecost, if it had been within their power to line up all of Jerusalem and to heal every one of them, that they wouldn't have done it? No! They were following the Holy Spirit. They were following the Spirit of God. They were discerning of the Holy Spirit. They were allowing God to move them and to put them in positions where God could work one-on-one with these people. Today, listen, there are charlatans. There are people today that are using the Holy Spirit in order to gain a nickel. They're using the Holy Spirit in order to gain femininity for themselves. And that's not the way God intended it. Peter did not declare healing to every beggar of the temple that day. Every indication is that we need to be open and obedient to the moving and the sovereign mind of the Holy Spirit. Think of all we miss by not being in tune with the Spirit's sensitive and yet powerful leadings. Let me say that again. Think of all we miss by not being in tune with the Spirit. Within minutes that day in Jerusalem, a crippled man was up on his feet, jumping around and dancing for the first time in his life. And isn't it remarkable that this did not happen on the way home from a wonderful prayer meeting? Did you ever think about that? That this did not happen on the way home from a big revival meeting. It did not happen on the way home from a great big evangelism rally that they'd had that day. Oh, friends, listen. Peter and John had been exalting the name of the Lord for 2 hours and on a great spiritual high. No, we don't read that. Instead, it happened as they were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. They hadn't even been to the prayer meeting yet. And still their hearts were so in tune with the Spirit of God that they were instantly ready to cooperate with what the Spirit wanted to do. It's ironic that this pitiful man was found begging at a temple gate called Beautiful. The places where we often minister have a lot of filth and ugliness on all sides. Here in Hart County, there are a lot of places you can go where things are not very beautiful there. But outside, there are loads of crippled people all across America, even some in beautiful settings. They're not crippled physically, but they're beggars of another kind. They have tasted material success, financial security, and physical pleasures, but they're still empty with nobody home in their souls. I pray that God might, beginning with me, beginning with the men here at Rowlett's, beginning with the churches in Hart County, I pray that God may raise up an army of men and women that are ready to speak words of healing and deliverance to these kind of cripples, people that are crippled within their heart. This man's sudden walking and jumping and leaping were fairly dramatic, I'm sure, and that the name of Jesus had power. He showed that the name of Jesus has power. A church, a crowd gathered in wonderment. The second crowd in church history began to be evangelized. Do you know that? Notice what brought them together. Watch this. A manifestation of the Spirit's power through the believers. Just as on the day of Pentecost. Not the same demonstration, to be sure, but something that made people ask, how did this happen? Is your life changed enough? Is your mannerisms, are your desires transformed enough to cause people that once knew you to ask, how in the world did this happen? Has your life come to a place that in the hands of God it's become so entirely different than what it once was that people look at you in wonderment and say, how did this happen? How is it that these things are possible? Well, Peter begins to speak with a healthy portion of boldness. That's what the Holy Spirit will bring. Acts 3:14, he says, you disowned the Holy and Righteous One. Well, look who's talking. Hadn't Peter done this disowning of Christ around the campfire a few weeks before? Well, yeah. But all that's past now, thanks to the power of the blood of Jesus and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in Peter's life. He is not wallowing in self-condemnation. He knows that what God forgives, God also forgets. So Peter courageously addresses this crowd. No doubt some of his listeners had been among the mob in Pilate's court shouting, crucify him, crucify him. You would think that Peter would be a little more diplomatic here, but the last thing on his mind is what folks want to hear. He's fearless to declare what they need to hear. Their reaction to the Word of God is not his business, only to be faithful to his calling as a spokesperson for Christ. Peter says, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and now was made strong, it is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. The faith was obviously not in the man. It was in the hearts of Peter and John. This was not just a mental affirmation of certain facts concerning the life of Jesus. It was not parroting some mantra, I believe, you're healed." This was a spirit born faith that God gave to Peter, tailored exactly to the unique situation he faced that day. We can rest assured today that whatever God calls us to do, He will also be faithful to equip us to do. Remember that God, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful. We are co-laborers with Christ through the Holy Spirit's work in us and through us. Peter's sermon produced a second wave of converts that day, so the church probably grew to some 5,000 people. And that church hadn't been born but just a couple of weeks. Now, at the same moment, watch this. There's a backlash. At the same moment, persecution will strike. When you're following the Holy Spirit, when you're allowing God to work in your heart, friend, get ready for some trouble. We read in Acts chapter 4 that before Peter and John could hardly turn around, they got busted. They ended up spending the night in jail. What was it that triggered the arrests? The priests and Sadducees were greatly disturbed because the apostles were proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. You see, if Peter had softened his sermon to something a little more palatable, maybe a little sermonette on kosher food or how beautiful the temple looked that day, he could have stayed out of trouble. But friend, that is not God's way. It is the way of people devoid of faith in the Holy Spirit's power. They are always cleverly figuring out what will work and keep the crowd and remain popular. That's right. This is one component of the disastrous church growth movement. Nowhere does God tell us to have mega churches, or that growth in numbers is a sign that all is well. You read your New Testament. It's not me saying, I'm telling you, it's not in the Bible. What He does call for is for us to do His work in His way by preaching His Word under His power for His glory. Praise God, I said, His work, His way, His Word, His power, His glory. I believe that if by His grace we do that, numbers will come. Not as a goal, but as a natural byproduct of God's blessings. Let us remember that there has always been persecution in one form or another. Just as Satan tried to kill the baby Jesus in Bethlehem, here we see him going after the baby church, the infant church. Sometimes persecution is overt and violent. Other times it's more subtle. It is really embarrassing for us to read this story in light of what we call problems, what we complain about. Compared with what happened to the apostles in Acts chapter 4, we have a walk in the park. We still have the freedom to meet, to preach, and to hand out Christian tracts all day long if you wanted to. And yet we blame the environment for our powerlessness rather than facing our spiritual condition. We walk around without end about how godless the country is when we only need to answer to the situation for us, the church, to return to our spiritual birthright as a powerful community in Jesus Christ. How did God's people respond to genuine intimidation and persecution? Well, at the apostles' arraignment the next morning, before the Jewish power structure, including the high priest, they were there. Very few opening pleasantries. The first question that was thrown straight into their faces was this: by what power or what name did you do this? Acts chapter 4, verse 7. Now, notice how the writer, Luke, sets up the scene in the verse. Then Peter, oh, thank God. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. Why do you think Luke inserted that extra clause? If Peter and the others had been categorically and permanently filled with the Spirit back in the upper room, why bring it up here? If Spirit infilling is just a standard part of Christianity for all believers, why this mention? It would be like writing, then Peter, who was breathing, said to them. Well, apparently, Luke felt there was something noteworthy here that needed to be pointed out. Peter was not just standing up as a former fisherman to try and answer his inquisitors as best he could find in himself. He wasn't just going to quote something he'd heard from Jesus during his 3 years of training. Instead, he was a man under the control and the anointing of the Spirit of God Himself. I marvel once again at the thought. It was Peter, sure enough, a man with frailties and weakness like all of us, but it wasn't exactly Peter alone. It was Peter filled with the Holy Spirit so that this court didn't really understand what it was up against. Thank God for these special times of power and critical moments in our lives. We need to trust God for these men when we hit our own difficulties and challenge. We must always remember that trials are the opening of channels for more grace. The longer Peter talked, the more amazed the dignitaries became. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished. These fellows weren't eloquent. Perhaps even their sandals had a little leftover smell of fish bait on them. But it was this, as they'd say, not even close. How ludicrous for these know-nothings to represent themselves as religious leaders. They were Galileans, bumpkins, hayseeds. Rednecks! What a joke to the proud Sanhedrin and its vaunted traditions. Yet these men, listen to me, sweet people, these men showed no fear, no intimidation as they stood before the highest governing body in Judaism. It would be like taking the most regular old farmer you ever met in your life, the most regular old guy in all of Hart County, just the most ordinary fella, and standing him before the Supreme Court of the United States of America, and suddenly, through an empowering of the Holy Spirit, he began to display wisdom and authority through what God had done in his life. I praise God that it not picking a great big religious men that have gained a great big knowledge of all these things. He takes just regular old people. He takes just regular old friends. He takes just regular old men and women. And through empowering them with the Holy Spirit of God, He shows the world in amazement the glory that God can have in their lives. And so I see that we are living evidence of the power of God. Whether it's a cracked addict who's been set free, a meth head that's been healed of his addiction, a child that's been healed of a disease, a homosexual who has turned around, there's something irrefutable about a brand new life filled with peace and joy from the Holy Spirit. Oh, friend, we need living arguments, trophies of God's grace. The Word of God is our message. God can give us a living testimony in order to show the world that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Friend, I want to challenge you to live your life like you're a trophy for God. To live your life like everything that's happened is nothing more than a loudspeaker that's being used to tell others about the grace of God in your life. Oh, sweet people, will you pray with me? Will you pray with me this morning? Father God, I thank you, dear Lord, that every terrible thing that's happened to me in my life, every tragedy, every moment of turmoil, all those things, dear God, can be used to glorify you. And so, Father, I pray that you might make my life a living sacrifice, that you might make all of us that are listening right now, all of us that are desiring to feel something from you, that we might be able to stand boldly before the high courts of this world and say that we are living in this way because of what God has done for us. Oh, Jesus, you're so kind. You're so wonderful, dear Jesus. Thank you for this day. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity. I ask that you empower us through the Holy Spirit to accomplish these things as we walk hand in hand with our Savior. In Christ's name, I pray these things. Amen. God bless you, friend, from Rallets Baptist Church.